Well, it turns out that the entire human race may be descended from just two people who lived about 200,000 years ago. At least that's the conclusion of a couple of quote-unquote scientists, and it is kicking up all kind of controversy. We're going to talk about it in Podcast 781, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, one of the things we're going to talk about is life-changing events, society-changing events. And we live in a very advanced society, but we are drinking water out of pipes that have been there a long time. And we drink water which is it potable? Is that how you say the word? Potable? By water treatment facilities in our municipalities. And the water in my municipality is not that great. And so I do not drink the tap water in my town. First of all, it tastes terrible. And then there's this question of possible pollution from decades ago, toxins that are odorless, tasteless, and colorless. And the municipalities have these water treatment facilities, and they put things in the water to make it palatable, for lack of a better term. And that's just as dangerous in some ways as anything that was in there to begin with. And so what? I spend a lot of money on bottled water. Many people do. You buy two or three cases at a time. You go to Trader Joe's. They got bottled water lined up underneath the window by the cash registers that goes on as far as the eye can see. And people buy two or three cases at a time. And sometimes the bottled water isn't that great either. So what do you do? Well, there's a solution to this. And this is the water butler. My friend Joe Berg was telling me the other day, he's the water butler guy, that he can make my tap water and, of course, your tap water more pure and better tasting than bottled water with the simple addition of a water butler water purification system. Now, if you want to know more, check out MasterPlumberMN.com. That's MasterPlumberMN.com, or click on the Water Butler page at the top of the page, the little ad at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcast, or you can just call them at 763-286-8328. Joe Berg says, just have people call me because it's a lot easier. 763-286-8328. They can set you up with a water purification system that literally will end your dependence on bottled water forever, because he can make your water taste and be cleaner than bottled water. And this is especially important if you live in St. Louis Park, Rogers, Maple Grove, Edina, Plymouth, or Minnetonka. It is time to purify your water right from the source with the Water Butler. They have 68 years in plumbing, so they're not going to screw that up, and 30 years experience with water filtration systems. They've got really small systems all the way up to large systems that deal with all the water in your house. 763-286-8328. That's 763-286-8328, or click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. End your dependence on bottled water forever today. Well, there is a lot of talk about tariffs, and it's affecting manufacturing, affecting farmers. But if you're in manufacturing, if you're a company that is manufacturing overseas and you have reshored your production, or you're thinking about reshoring your production, you're probably looking for a great American manufacturer, and that is Depot Star. DEPOT, Depot Star American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at depotstar.com, or click on the Depot Star banner at the top of the page at the bottom. BobDavisPodcasts.com. Let me just repeat that. All humans, this is the headline, all humans are descended from just two people, and a catastrophic event almost wiped out all species about 100,000, maybe 200,000 years ago, scientists claim. And this is all over the internet. It is kicking up an awful lot of disagreement. And I'm not doing the podcast about the disagreement. That's not what hooked me on this story. What hooked me on this story was I read that. So I read this first story, which this one appeared in the Daily Mail online. And what's funny is that the URL, or the internet address for this story, says 200,000. The actual headline of the story says 100,000. But for lack of a better term, and for lack of in the interest of brevity, let me just say that the story says that these two scientists analyzed DNA and found out that we are descended from just a pair of modern humans who lived 100,000 to 200,000 years ago, and that a catastrophic event almost wiped out all human species, and I would assume other species as well, at 100,000 or so years ago. Now, there's a lot of problems with this study. I'm not going to read the whole story because you can find this story online. I'll put links to it on the blog. Then we're getting a whole bunch of other stories because this is one of these things that, kind of creates multiple shards. And now there's another story that says that early humans, which I've heard before, interbred between Neanderthals and other primitive cousins because the Neanderthal DNA is present in human DNA. So we know that there was a mixture. And I've often talked about the early humans coexisting with Neanderthals. For a long time, the way we were taught many, many years ago, the way I was taught human history was that the Neanderthals came along after a series of, they were the, let's just say a software update from previous iterations, and they died out, and then the early humans came along. Well, it looks like there was a lot of coexistence, and one of these most recent studies, this was not done by the same guys that did the other one, but this one suggests that the early humans, who really aren't very attractive, and Neanderthals, who also weren't very attractive, interbred in multiple times in a world of debauchery back in the day. And we're talking about 100,000, 200,000 years ago. And the controversy is that there is no evidence that anything happened 200,000 years ago, first of all. In terms of a die-off or a species reset or anything like that. They think that human beings, they have found, things dating back as many as 500,000 years ago and certainly at least 250,000 years ago. So human beings may have been around for 500,000 years. And Forbes, Michael Marshall posted a piece in Forbes just recently that the headline says, and this is my way of giving you both sides, no humans are probably not all descended from a single couple who lived 200,000 years ago. And basically the argument that Marshall is making is that mitochondrial DNA, which was the basis of the study that was done by Mark Steckel of the Rockefeller University in New York and David Thaler of the University of Basel in Switzerland, is not enough to draw some of these conclusions. And I am going to read a paragraph from this story because it actually tells how they did this. The study is about DNA barcoding, the technique of reading a small chunk of an organism's DNA and using that to identify its species. To identify an animal, geneticists usually look at a gene called the chitochrome oxidase, CO1. This gene is not part of the main genome held in the nucleus of animal cells, but instead carried in the mitochondria, a tiny sausage-shaped thing that swarm inside animal cells and provide them with energy. So DNA barcoding is not a perfect method of identifying species, but it works pretty well. That's because, as the study observes, animals belonging to one species tend to have near identical CO1 genes, which reliably differ from animals of the other genes. It goes on to say, and I'm not going to bore you with the whole story, but basically it says there's no evidence that the human race was ever reduced to a population of two. And the argument here is that these guys have proven that the Bible is right about Adam and Eve. Well, I don't know. I don't know enough about this stuff to prove one way or the other, or to even have an opinion one way or another. This story got me to do a search, and I'm going to post this link on the blog at thebobdavispodcast.com as well. Where I found an animated, world map that shows all recorded history from 200,000, roughly, to today. And it's fascinating to me. And then there's that. These are two little shards that come together to actually create a podcast, because I don't want to spend the whole podcast talking about these two stories because, you know, like I said, you can find that anytime you want. Two little shards. The other shard was that I watched this movie that Netflix is really pushing right now called Outlaw King, which is about Robert Bruce, who at the time of King Edward of England, around 1320, ended up having a war between the English and the Scots, and he actually ended up ejecting Prince William from Scotland, and his descendant, later King James, became the King of England. And it is a story, and it dates back to 1320, this particular story, where we actually do have a lot of information about it. And I watched this map as it animated from 200,000 years ago to the current time frame. And I want to talk about my conclusions about watching this video. It's really actually pretty cool. If you like history, it's really cool. And it just provoked so many things to think about that that is what I am going to talk about in this podcast. And it's not really about that. Now, it's a nice story that basically says that indeed all human beings are descended from Adam and Eve. But even if you take the Michael Marshall view, that in fact we are probably descended from, let's just say a few thousand, because world population, this little map gives you a count of the world population dating back, you know, so many years ago. And it shows, you know, basically human beings emerging from Africa and moving up into the Middle East and then spreading out across the rest of the world over, you know, thousands and thousands of years. And it's fascinating because, you know, obviously I live in North America, I live in the United States. And so obviously your eye is on Europe and your eye is also on North America, and there's nothing appears in North America until quite far down the line. Certainly there are people from the Pacific, and they assume, I think, that people from the Pacific sort of emerged from the northern part of the, you know, where Alaska is, and also from Latin America, what now is Latin America, and kind of came up into North America, and they became the American Indians. But that happened much later. But you can see that there wasn't very many people. So it doesn't matter whether it's actually, you know, proof that Adam and Eve existed and the whole thing is true. It's probably relatively true in the sense that that story was probably repeated, not the whole thing with the tree and everything else, but the story was repeated several times around the globe by different people and different types of people and different species of, let's just say, Homo sapiens, for lack of a better term, and I don't even know if that's the correct term, you know, Neanderthals, these different, you know, iterations of human being existed at relatively the same time. And all human history descends from those people. And here's the key. The recorded human history isn't that long ago. So let's just say it is 200,000 for the purposes of this podcast. And I'm not saying that that is actually true. I'm saying this is an interesting little historic, you know, game to play. It's a game to play with history and to provoke a conversation. And so that is what we're going to talk about in this podcast. Well, you've heard me ask, what do you do if you're injured at work or play? Usually it's a surprise. It happens. That's why they call them accidents. They happen unexpectedly. If it happens at work, then you have this whole thing with insurance and workers' comp. If it happens, you know, in some kind of leisure activity, then you have all sorts of legal issues because you got to get your medical bills paid. And it is a thicket. It's complicated. It's complicated even when you're not injured and you have to go to the hospital for any reason or get any kind of medical care these days. It's a big issue. And I'm going to recommend an attorney to you because John Scott of Hoffman Hamer and Associates is a great personal injury lawyer. And the best thing I can do is give you his telephone number and have you set it aside because you never know when you're going to need it. 612-963-4629. It's true. An accident usually comes without any warning, even when you're having fun. And John Scott can help you make sure sure that you get the help you need. He tells me all these stories, and I will be sharing those with you in the future. The boat that ran over the college guy, the woman that was injured when she rented a car, or the guy who was hurt, and his work said, you're not hurt that bad. You can come in Monday. And he was hurt, and John helped all of these people get their lives back. Call John D. Scott at Hoffmanhamer & Associates. He is meticulous. He's a great guy, and he helps you get your life back. And let me just say very quickly, and this isn't him saying this. One of the things that I've heard him say that I think is so great is, you know, sometimes people always want to go to court, but going to court is not always what you need to get through the maze of insurance benefits, medical bills, and workers' comp so you can get your life back and maintain your job, because that's what it's all about. John D. Scott at Hoffmanhamer & Associates, 612-963-4629. That's 612-963-4629, or click on the banner at the top of the page, the Bob Davis Podcast.com. You can also visit jdsinjurylaw.com. And when you go there, there's a contact page for you to share the details of your problem with John Scott, personal injury attorney at Hoffmanhamer & Associates. Now, from here, this is an easy talker. I don't have anything in front of me. And the reason I don't have anything in front of me is because I can't, if I were to sit down and write this, it would be boring. Because what I'm going to talk about is my personal experience with this particular story. Because the first thing I did when I saw that story, so here's what I'm doing. This was over Thanksgiving weekend, and I was trying not to work, and I found, you know, at one point I pulled up AP News. I've got the AP News app now, and the reason I have the AP News app is I got tired of looking at the Drudge Report. And I thought, you know, I really should have let's just call it some kind of objective reality. I'm not saying AP is objective. I just said I want more than just the Drudge Report to see what's going on. And so I downloaded the AP app. And then this story came up in the AP. So I'm sitting there in between whatever I'm watching on television, Ray Donovan or whatever it was. And I thought, you know, I'm going to search human history and see what I can find. And this map came up. So this link to the map, which I'm going to put on my website at thebobdavispodcast.com. So people, I'll actually put a couple up because there's a couple of these animated history maps. And you can watch it. And it's an interesting experience because you can sort of see things get mapped as time goes on. And if you watch on your phone, it's really hard because they're really small. The little countries and things like that that pop up are really small. And then I'm watching this other movie about the Scott King, Robert Bruce, around 1320. And all of it just sort of came together to a kind of conclusion about how much time has elapsed. Because here's what happened. I watched the animated video of all of recorded history and civilizations from about 200,000 to 2015, I think. And it's really interesting because nothing happens for a long time. You're sitting there and you're watching the ticker spin like in the time machine. You're watching the years swing by. And you're watching the world population slowly tick up, tick up, tick up. And then suddenly there's a bloom, and the bloom is in the Middle East, and then that goes for a little while, and it kind of continues to expand, and then it expands, and suddenly there's a little bloom by Greece. And then it kind of moves over to Italy, and you see the beginning of Rome, and that kind of blooms, and then suddenly that blooms big, and you see the Saracens, and you see the Persians, and you see all these different groups of people, and you see these societies just kind of bloom on the map in different colors. And then finally, of course, you know, you see the New World, and you see people begin to move to Latin America, what became Latin America, and of course, what became the United States. And then, you know, the thing stops at 2015. And I thought, here's what I thought. I thought, isn't it interesting that even if you say 500,000 years, we don't even know really what kind of society may have existed 500,000 years ago. I mean, they theorize that Neanderthals really didn't have social skills and did not survive because the modern human had much higher levels of social skills and a better brain and was able to develop society. And because we developed society, quote-unquote civilization, we rapidly surpassed the Neanderthals. But as near as I can tell, quote-unquote scientists, archaeologists, historians are pretty unclear as to what kinds of things actually happened and were happening back in that time. You know, if you talk to geologists, you know, they can we know there was an ice age, and we know that the last ice age concluded. You know, I want to say, and I'm going to say this without checking it, but I would say that the last ice age concluded about 10,000 years ago. So the oldest known civilization in which we have records would have been the Sumerians, and that goes back to something like 9,000 years, something like that, 9 or 10,000 years, maybe. And the only thing that we have passed down to us from the Sumerians, which would have been modern-day Iraq, were rock formations and cuneiform, little cuneiform figures and tablets. They used cuneiform, which is a form of, I guess you could say, it's iconography. In other words, little pictures that tell stories that were pressed into clay. And they have one cuneiform tablet from that age, and that has told the whole known story of the civilization of Sumeria, or Ur, U-R. And then after that, the Egyptians. And some people say that the Sumerians were the highest form of civilization in the ancient world, and that the Egyptians were actually a step down from the Sumerians, and that we have stepped down further each new civilization. So after the Egyptian, whoever, I don't remember what happened after that, but each civilization that has passed down has actually been a step down from the Sumerians. But think about this. We're only talking about 10,000 years. We're not talking about 100,000 or 200,000 because we don't really know what was going on 200,000 years ago. Yeah, we know geologically, we could probably say, yes, we know what was going on. And I don't know what kind of evidence except for bones exists to tell us really much at all about what was going on 500,000 or 200,000 years ago. But we know what was going on 10,000 years ago. And we know there was a flood of some kind. Let's just say it was a flood. And it may have been the melting of the ice caps or some sort of axis shift or something. I don't know. But modern history, what we know of modern history, and I know I'll get email and I appreciate it because I haven't, you know, this is an easy talker. I'm just talking off the top of my head, is really about 10,000. So from about 10,000 on, that's modern history. Yeah, I know that they know that it goes back to 200,000, let's say. And this map that I'm going to post the link to, it goes back to 200,000. But okay, real history, the history that we have recorded data from, whether it's, you know, cuneiform tablets, the Bible, and then as we went further, you know, the pyramids and the stuff left over from ancient Egypt, and even that is hard to tell. I'll give an example of how little we know about ancient history. And I'm not saying we don't know anything. I'm saying in terms of what we know about 1950, right? We don't know that much about ancient history. Here's an example. So we know what how the Roman society was structured. We know from Gibbon and from Tacitus and others, we know a lot about ancient Greece and Rome. A lot of the really good information was destroyed in the fire at the library at Alexandria. But okay, we have a fair amount of information, ancient and otherwise, but we still don't know what the Romans did with the top two floors of the buildings that they built. So we know that they built housing for the plebeians. We know that they lived in something like apartment buildings or block houses. But we aren't really sure what they did on the second two floors. Some of them were as high as five floors, but we really don't know what they did or what those buildings looked like. Another example, it took a long time for people used to think, like when they built the U.S. Capitol, to actually be sort of a throwback to classic architecture, the buildings are white marble for the most part, or terracotta or whatever they used. And the buildings in Rome were not white. They were painted bright colors. They were painted purple and red and yellow. They were painted bright colors. So it's stuff like that that you kind of pick up, little pieces of history that you pick up that are I didn't know. I thought, in my mind, I think of ancient Rome and I think of these buildings being white, but in fact, they were multicolored. So when you think about history being 10,000 years old, at least recorded history, then you start to look at this on a map as it develops and you realize that, okay, so 1320, this is the story that I was watching, which is a great movie, by the way, about Robert Bruce, you know, taking on the English crown back in the day. That was not that long ago. I mean, it was, 1320 to 2017. So let's just say 1320 to 2020 is something like 700 years, right? Or am I wrong about that? So yeah, let's see. 2020 minus 1320 is 700. So yeah, just 700 years ago. And so 1620 would have been when, and that was pretty, this is a pretty advanced development for the age. If you think of the pilgrims coming over on the Mayflower, which is something we just talked about on our Thanksgiving podcast, that was in 1620. So 2020 minus 1620 is 400 years. So just 400 years ago, you had just the first feet being placed from Europe, European feet being placed on the ground in the so-called New World, just 400 years ago. And 300 years ago, they weren't even thinking about revolution. They were still really proto, you know, sort of, you know, seminal colonies 300 years ago in 1720. So when you think about what kind of progress has been made, in the last 100 years, so from 1920 to 2020 is 100 years. And it's fascinating to me because so much has happened in such a short period of time. If you go back 200,000 years, if you go back 1,000 years, if you go back 600 years, you know, has human nature really changed that much? Certainly, and the players have changed and the situations have changed, and we certainly have incredible advancements in technology, and the Industrial Revolution has changed everything, and now the Technology Revolution is changing everything. But that's relatively new. You know, I was thinking when I was sitting there thinking about this, I was thinking how new it is that people actually are able to get on a plane and travel. The average person, as far back, well, as short a time back as 1950, people didn't travel that much. If they did, maybe they went by car or they went by train, which took a long time. So if you didn't have time off from work, you didn't travel that much because the roads weren't that great. As early as, you know, as late as early 60s, people still took trains around. It's only in the last 25 years that air travel has really come into its own. Yes, I know that air travel existed going back to the 20s. I know that you could take planes to, you know, all that. But it's only recently that being able to fly from Minneapolis to Seattle for the weekend became something that was doable for almost anyone. If they had $400 or $500, they could, you know, and they were willing to fly standby, they could fly for less than that. They could fly from Minneapolis to Seattle and spend the weekend with their family or friends in Seattle. And now you have jet-setting couples, you know, right, that long-distance relationships where people take the plane, as well as all the communication stuff. So, you know, look at the changes in terms of the first radios, which in terms of the march of history is literally a split second. So when you think about the most significant things that have happened in the 20th century, and then you say, okay, well, what are the most significant things that have happened in the 21st century? And, you know, what's going to happen, perhaps, that we can't see that could make the things that we thought were significant not be significant at all because we're only 20 years into the new century. See what I'm saying? So I am fascinated by this story of all of us descending from this one tiny group of people. And I think I'm also fascinated with the idea that we almost were made extinct by some event. Even if it isn't proven, we know that there was some kind of flood 20,000 years ago. We know that recorded history is only 10,000 years. So just 10,000 years ago, there basically was nobody living in Europe. In the whole of Northern Europe was nothing but an empty forest. We know that there was nobody in North America for the most part, and nobody in Latin America. It was literally virgin land. And that in the past, 10,000 years, all this has happened. And it really puts all of this fighting and bickering and, you know, nastiness and everything else that we see on, you know, media. And we think it has this... almost this inevitability, and these things that we think are so important right now are literally dashed away in a second by the scope of world history and significant events that we think of as being extremely significant today. In the grand scheme of things, aren't significant. And it's really important, I think, especially now, for people to keep and maintain that perspective. If it's true that we're descended from two people, that the whole human race and most of the species on Earth nearly died off 200,000 years ago, and that the entire world was repopulated from, let's just say it was sets of two families all over the world. Maybe not. Maybe all over the known world at the time. Maybe it wasn't just these two people in Mesopotamia or Africa, that there were two people or groups of twos all over the place, but still hardly 7 billion people that we have on the earth today. And that's when you start to think, wow, what are we doing? And are we? And I guess the question I would be asking in this podcast is, do you think human nature has changed? And the other thing is, look at the institutions that carry back. Most of us think two generations back or three generations back. We think about our great-grandparents, or we think about our grandparents. My great-grandparents came here as immigrants to become miners. After that, I don't really know much about them. I don't know where they were in Wales, and I'm almost 100% Welsh. I don't know what they were doing. I don't really know who they were. We don't have any idea. We go back a little further with my mom because she's English. Her ancestors were English. But most of us think about our grandparents. And that's about as far back as we go to our grandparents. We don't go back through into the mists of time to try to figure out who we descended from and what their life was like and how difficult their life. Because let me tell you, these people in 1320, things were much better in 150 AD in Rome than they were in Scotland in 1320. I don't know how those people survived, to tell you the truth. I don't know how anybody survived until we reached the modern time. And I imagine that in 100 years, someone will be saying that about us, that how could you possibly have survived? But I look at all this stuff going on, and I look at all these things people seem to be so upset about right now, as though they're the most important things ever on the planet. How much stuff that was potentially earth-shattering in a local sense happened and nobody even knew? Nobody knew about the forest fire. Nobody knew about the earthquake. Nobody knew about the tornado. How many massacres occurred or die-offs occurred, and nobody ever knew about it. And if it was happening today, people would be having an absolute fit. Today we have Christian mercenaries bothering ancient Aboriginal peoples who just want to be left alone. And all anybody can talk about is, oh, isn't it awful that this guy was killed by these people? And they warned him. This is the missionary that tried to go onto this island by India, and the Indian government tries to keep people out, and they want to go there and see these people, but the people just want to be left alone. But the main reason is they're extremely susceptible to outside diseases because they have been interbreeding, and they are living on this island, and they don't have any contact with the outside world. So if you were to go see them and bring something, you could literally eradicate them. So our existence is a little bit more tentative than we think it is in some ways. Maybe we are. I mean, and I hear that. I hear myself saying that. And I think, well, you know, maybe we're a lot stronger than you're giving us credit for. I'm just saying that I think it's amazing that that the whole of human history has taken place in such a short period of time. And for me, especially on the heels of all this political stuff over the weekend and all these things that happened and all the people that get upset and all the stuff on Twitter and Facebook, which I don't, in the long run, I don't think any of that stuff makes any difference anyway, really is put into a great perspective when you stop and think that even if the story of even if the DNA research is wrong, we know that there were floods, that there was ice ages, that there were things that nearly wiped the human race out many times, and it repopulated itself. Maybe not from the same couple, maybe not from just two people, but you never know. Well, I'm sure Robert Bruce didn't worry about cartridges, but I do. And I print so much that I need print cartridges, and the laser print cartridges at the big box retailers are super expensive, and that is why I hate my printer. But if you use Cartridge World in Maple Grove, which powers the Bob Davis podcast, you can save up to 30% on those cartridges compared to the big box stores. They have the ink cartridges, the colored ink cartridges. They have all that stuff, and they have printers as well. And at Cartridge World, their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. I actually like the way they perform better than new ones. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. Here's the number, 763-420-6632, or click on that really cool black, yellow, and white Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, those are my musings on history. I guess I get a lot out of a map and a story when it comes to the world history. But I am fascinated with world history and always have been. And I think when you read history, it kind of telescopes into, it seems like it took place over a short period of time. One of my great fantasies is being able to live for 1,000 years, because what you would know and the perspective that you would have if you could live for 1,000 years. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com. Appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting for the Bob Davis Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, it really helps when people share the podcasts and comment on them on their own Facebook page. I really, really appreciate that. Both Ken and Mandy have been doing that. Mandy Benz and my friend Ken, they have been doing it as well. Really appreciate that. And thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 781.
Born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonny boat was won as we sail into the mystic. Oh, I can now hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. And where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home.